We're talking about the ascension and the importance of the ascension. And I don't remember what we talked about the last time we met, which was when? Friday?
Saturday, wasn't it?
No, I met Monday, but no one else did. I got it, but I had already gotten up and studied and everything. I didn't look at the emails until just before 7:30. And there's an email from John telling me there's no Bible study.
I never got the email.
Well, you wouldn't have come anyway.
Well, we knew Ollie would.
Oh, I see.
So we emailed him to remind
him. I see. It wasn't a mass circulation. It was directed. Part of it.
But I don't remember what we studied on Friday. Does anybody? I'm sure it's got something to do with the ascension, but I don't remember what. You remember?
It says on the website.
Huh?
It says on the website. Can we play back Friday's Bible study?
I tried to, but it's not up yet. The notification is up, but the Friday's Bible study isn't up. That's the first time I'd looked at it since the new stuff. It looks good. So the little explanation thing, which didn't explain anything, is there to me, but it's not, the Bible study isn't up. Anyway, I think we studied more about just that the New Jerusalem is our surrounding reality. Let's go to Ephesians 1. No, let's not. Let's wait a minute. This just hit me. The whole idea of the ministry of Elijah, which is what John the Baptist fulfilled, and which must be fulfilled now by every believer, especially when you do Passover, and I don't know if you do it now anymore, but we used to drink everybody drank the cup of Elijah to indicate your willingness, has but one job, and that is to bring forth fruit necessary for repentance. And so when you speak, if you look at the first great speech of Peter, it was so dramatic. You killed Christ. You crucified him. He that fixed everything for you, you killed him. And then their response was, the ones that believed and were saved, was, what must we do? There was never the hint in the New Testament of trying to talk anybody into coming to the understanding of God. And this whole study of the ascension and what led to the ascension, and the whole mystery of what happened immediately afterwards is the perfect example that nobody ever tried to talk anybody into anything. It simply said, you killed him. If you'd have been there, you'd have crucified him. Well, then what must we do? Does everybody see that?
Yeah, I was thinking about this very thing last night of how in our minds, evangelism means selling God. And that not only our minds, but the whole purveyance on the landscape. Whereas,
That's never been in my mind.
Well, I know.
Whose hour are you talking about?
Good job.
Oh, Pete.
Pete, all right.
I don't know if you want to work back home.
Amen to that, right?
No, I mean, it's ludicrous.
Yeah.
Because it can't, huh?
The thing about be reconciled to God, how do you view that?
The word reconcile means to be exchanged. We see God is all in and all, and he's given unto us the ministry of reconciliation, is what Paul said. Well, a ministry of reconciliation is the ministry of an exchanged life, not an improved life. Does that answer you?
I mean, but he goes on to say, we beseech thee, be reconciled to God.
Well, that's the whole point. You've started now. Why are you going down the path of the curse again? Why have you returned to the kingdom of darkness? Be reconciled to God by the blood of Christ. I mean, you remember the Bible is to believers. It isn't to the world. It's not a history book or a science book or anything else. It's a book of a mystery.
You won't be reconciled by being drawn into thinking there's benefits to being part of the kingdom. You're reconciled by seeing your death.
Well, but I mean, yeah, you'll be part of the kingdom, all right, the kingdom of Babylon.
Yeah, which is where a lot of people want to be reconciled.
No, including you and I and Harry. Everybody wants to be in Babylon.
No, not me.
Are you redeemed?
I used to be bad, but Duncan. No longer selling Duncan.
Did I say go to Ephesians? I hope I did.
Then you said don't go to Ephesians. Yeah.
Well, now I changed my mind. I'm tired of this.
I gotta say that this ascension teaching really hit me hard last week because I never could identify any Sadducee in me.
That is so funny to me. I'm sorry.
So you open up and laugh.
You get mocked.
But, they all are a lie and deception, and unless it hits me right in the face, I don't see it. But this made me see where I don't believe in the resurrection. I have constructed and used the doctrine as a means of not having to believe in the resurrection, all the while thinking I do. That's the nature of deception. It just knocked me out.
No, that whole deal when you came and talked to me. Do you mind if I talk about that a minute? Or have you talked about it?
Go ahead.
After, I guess it was last week, wasn't it? After Pentecost, Gary came to me and for the first time in his life, he was depressed. And I told him, thank God I've been waiting 33 years for that. Because that's what happened. You saw that the lie that had been constructed, and that's just you, everybody does it, they construct a lie, had been destroyed.
I had no foundation anymore. All the things I had stood on now crumbled, and it was very, very tenuous walking around here.
Let's go to Isaiah 50.
Not Ephesians.
Just shut up.
Where?
Isaiah 50, verse...
Where's Ross?
I took up his mail because I turned on my...
He left early this morning.
Verse 5. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. Now this is Christ talking, obviously. I gave my back to the smiters, and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting. For the Lord God will help me, therefore shall I not be confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh yet in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon his God. But behold, all you that kindle a fire, that surround yourselves about with sparks that walk in the light of your fire and in the sparks that you have kindled. This shall you have at mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. Now, it took Gary 50 years, 56 years, or how old are you? 60-something. 60 years to, before you saw the fullness of the sparks. That.
Yeah. And what's funny to me is I can say the words, and even in my mind, believe, because your mind has a certain capacity to fake faith, and that's what I think happens to me. And, but then when reality hits, it all blows up.
And again, you got to see that is the only moment of your life right now.
Yeah.
All the other moments are meaningless. They were just instruments to lead you to that moment. Remember when I told you that you asked me if I didn't think it did you any good to go to Christ for the Nations? And I told you about the same as your drug habit.
Yeah.
I mean, it doesn't matter. Nothing. You can't learn anything. You have to come to the place where you have no hope. But if you will continue to walk in the light of the sparks that you kindle, then this shall you have in mine hand. Eventually, you are going to lie down in sorrow until it's only His resurrection, only Him that you see. And its separateness is impossible. And that every single thing that happened was only because of our rebellion. It's always been true. It's always been there. Do you know that the idea of this my good buddy J.W., he, above all things about that are preached in the Scriptures or from the Scriptures, the thing he hates worse than anything else is dispensationalism, that God acted differently at one time and than another time. And he calls the places that believe in that concept whorehouses, even though they think they're going to a church. Did you know that the whole idea of dispensationalism and what flowed from it into the obvious heresy of the rapture didn't start until 1830? Nobody believed in dispensationalism before, because they saw that God was always the same. It was our rebellion and His mercy that caused all of these things to transpire. But to think of the thousands, 2,000 some years of the church, and dispensationalism didn't, and all these charts that everybody has, you know, where they, well, here's what's going to happen then, and this is going to happen over here, and then this, and then you got to jump up and down, and then God's going to make you a yo-yo, and then you're going to come over here, and then they're going to rebuild the temple, and then ad nauseum. I mean, it's just goofy. It's just the codification of rebellion. Now, what right do you have to say that, Ole? Here's somebody. Well, because I know. I mean, they use the same Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that God is immutable, unchangeable, omnipresent, and yet they believe in dispensation. How can that happen? Go to Isaiah 57. This is the Buckner chapter, except we'll rename it in honor of somebody else.
It's like that they can say that because they really believe in the Zeke guys, you know, that's really the God there.
Yeah, the God of this world.
Yeah.
And until you see that this is talking to you, this everything else is meaningless.
You know, part of what... I don't even know what I want to say. That last scripture we just read about kindle, walk in the light, as far as that you kindle, you'll lie down, sir. The fact that that is true for everyone, everywhere, at all times, in all situations, it's just
It's just staggering. It's just staggering. There's this wall that you can't get around, you can't get over, and you can't get under.
The righteous one perisheth. Isaiah 57, are we there?
Mm-hmm.
And it just says the righteous, but if you want to think that you can put anybody there but Christ, then you've got a problem. The righteous one perisheth, and no man layeth it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil. He shall enter into peace. They shall rest in their beds, each one walking in his uprightness. But as for you, draw near here, you sons of the sorceress, the seed of the adulterer and the whore. Against whom do you sport yourself? Against whom make you a wide mouth and draw out the tongue? Are you not children of transgression, a seed of falsehood, inflaming yourselves with idols under every green tree, slaying the children in the valleys under the cliffs of the rocks? Among the smooth stones of the stream is your portion. They are thy lot, thine inheritance. Even to them hast thou poured a drink offering. Thou hast offered a meat offering. Should I receive comfort in these? Now, to offer a drink offering and a meat offering means that you've gotten worth from something other than the blood of Christ, and you've gotten sustenance from something other than the body of Christ. That means that you have given a drink offering and a meat offering or meal offering to these other gods. And how many gods have you not given that to? Do you understand that?
You're offering this offering to God, though. I mean, that's what you think you're doing, right?
No, but if it has anything to do with the dust, then it's just, no, it doesn't matter whether it's to God or anybody else. It's just what humans do.
Minds, that's what they think.
No, yeah. Sometimes the pagans, the people that don't have any idea, it yeah. Doesn't matter whether they... It's universal.
It's not about religion.
No.
This is always true. Wow. This is man himself.
Should I receive comfort in these? Upon a high and lofty mountain hast thou set up thy bed. Even there wentest thou up to offer sacrifice. That's what you do in your mind. You go up to one of the seven mountains of your mind. You go up to offer a sacrifice to everybody except the God of the universe. Behind the doors also, in thy post, as thou set up thy remembrance. For thou hast discovered thyself to another than me, and art gone up. Thou hast enlarged thy bed and made thee a covenant with them. Thou lovest their bed where thou sawest. Do you understand that's what you do every time you go to your mind? Or am I just speaking Greek again? You go up there to get your sustenance. You go up there to get your satisfaction. You go up there to get your illusions. You go up there to get your fantasies. You go up there to get your future. You go up there to solve your problems. It's all whoredom. Up there is your mind.
The picture is really made clear when you see yourself in bed with all of your lovers trying to gain life from
them. Or go drive through a forest and he'll say to you, show me which green tree you didn't lie under with a whore. Or with the whore. Because the green tree represents anything. The cross is the tree of life. Nobody sees that. But you think your green tree, the thing that'll give you life and sustenance and happiness and goodness and wealth and anything else you think you want, is under this green tree that looks alive to you. And it just blows me away that we use this metaphor to celebrate Christmas. A green tree with all kinds of little doodads and bling and thingies on it. I heard it bling. I know what bling is now.
What the hell is bling?
Shiny things.
When you get your hair cut like old as you
want. It's his. Is it?
Yeah, blinger.
and thou wentest to the king with thine ointment, and did increase thy perfumes, and did send thy messengers far off. Now that's what you do in your mind. The perfumes are your prayers, your thoughts, and you live in them. Oh, what am I going to do tomorrow? What am I going to do about this? What am I going to do about that? You just continually go up to the mountain. Oh, I'm going to go over here and then I'll be good. Oh, if I just get this one, my old definition of good, I said, God, if you're real and I get to bed that woman over there, then I might believe in you. That's what I used to say. Why?
Out of work.
I'm not going to talk. Yeah, I forgot about the believing in God. And did send thy messengers afar off. That's why what you do when you try to leave the moment for anything, you're sending your messengers to the past or to the future to try to assuage your conscience or try to do something, or it's just goofy. Did thou send thy messengers afar off and did debase thyself even unto hell? How did you do that? You debased yourself unto hell when you continued giving breath to that which is cursed. And you, in the illusions that you... I used to have these fantasies, my God, I'm going to be something special when I grow up. I must... Every kid in the world thinks they're special. It's just goofy. They're just ordinary, common flesh. But you got these, ooh, because you can't stand the rejection. So you make up universes in your mind that all of them deny the resurrection. Huh?
Yeah.
And did debase thyself even unto hell. Thou art wearied in the greatness of thy way, yet sayest thou not, there is no hope, for thou hast found the life of thine own hand, therefore thou wast not grieved. If you accept for a moment that the only purpose that God wants from us is one, the only thing God wants from us is 100% dependence on the Father, the mind of Christ, at every moment, then everything else is debasing yourself to hell. With hell, you're in an agreement. You made a covenant with death. And until you know that, you're never going to know what it means to bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ and cast down every imagination, every high place that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. You're going to still walk in your imaginations. But now you're doing it in God's name, and that'll really piss him off. Does that communicate? Because you deny the resurrection, you deny the ascension, you deny the New Jerusalem, because you think there's something left for you to do.
This just keeps narrowing the way. It just gets narrower and narrower.
Except your death. And your death means, by definition, that's what it means to mortify your flesh. It means that the next second isn't your business. The next nanosecond isn't your business. The past is covered in the blood. That's the only definition of freedom there is. That's the only way you can be instead of trying to be. How do we get on all that?
We were going to Ephesians.
We got sidetracked. It's either totally true or it's totally false. You can't sort of live in the middle anymore. All righty, that's enough. Anybody have any response? Jeremy? I can hear the wheels rolling, but I have ignored them. I've told them now.
How come it doesn't say the same in my Living Bible?
You're just waiting to make a smart ass remark.
Yeah, that's why I was waiting for.
So you can understand it.
Who invited this guy?
I don't know. I'm trying to figure it out.
I invited myself.
He's looking for cheap labor.
That's why my self-invitation was accepted.
Yeah. Looking for cheap labor.
Harry, thanks. Come on down.
All righty, take it, big guy.